Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Musical Connections Podcast. This show is where you'll discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. So, if you're out there, join me as we explore what makes our scene here in Newfoundland and Labrador so unique. And if you're listening out there, be a part of my mission of helping grow our Newfoundland and Labrador music industry, one song at a time. As always, I'm your host, Zach Snow, and this is the two-year anniversary as I'm recording this tonight, and tomorrow will be episode 101 by the time that this does air. So now you know the behind the scenes of how this all works. Anyways, it has been 2 years since I launched my very first episode of the podcast back on November 18th, 2022. It was done at the Battery Cafe with Ken Tizard, who is the host of the Whiskey Wednesday show and a singer-songwriter and bassist of his own right. A big thank you to everyone who has supported this project thus far. And as much as I do want to look back, I can only look forward. And we are looking forward to another great conversation here on this show. We're going to be connecting with singer-songwriter, lead singer, and co-founder of the Irish Descendants. We're going to be talking to Con O'Brien once again here on the podcast. And we're going to be talking to him about the upcoming tour, their second annual and Irish Descendants Christmas tour with this new lineup, which includes Mark Manning and Aaron Collis of Rum Ragged, who will be joining them as their special guest. We also talk about the brand new changes in the band, plus the upcoming 35 for 35 box set, which comes out very shortly. And, of course, we also talk about A Feet of Fish, his project that he does down at O'Brien's Boat Tours and Bay Bulls. And we dive into everything else when it comes to the music industry, when it comes to the changes that have happened, the love for vinyl. This is such a fun conversation. It was a long one, and knowing Con O'Brien, he loves to talk. But it's great because he tells a lot of stories, and that's great for shows like this. We're going to get to that right after we feature this week's newfound releases. These songs came out between November 10th to the 16th. And we start off newfound releases this week with Anil. She is a Tanzanian-born singer-songwriter who now resides here in Newfoundland and Labrador and is the most recent addition to Citadel House Records. Big thank you to Ana Luisa Ramos for sending me this song, and a big congratulations to her and Stevie, Dean, and everyone at Citadel House in Lewisport. You guys are doing some great work, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else you got cooking. Right now, with a little help from Ghetto Jr., here is Anil with For You on Newfound Releases. Forever young, me and you, my baby. 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 One time for my baby. Please call me, yeah. Minutes are coming for lesson. The way you got me, yeah. One time for my baby.
Just for you.
that was Anil For You on Newfound Releases with For You. We now go to a singer-songwriter that I've featured countless times and is making some major noise up in Ontario. We go to Newfoundland and Labrador expat, Ash Molloy. Right now, here is her newest single. This is Breakdown on Newfound Releases. And that was Ash Molloy For You on Newfound Releases with Breakdown. We now go to a band that calls themselves the Evil Beatles on their Instagram profile. We go to Boys Who Think, and here's their debut single from the alternative four-piece band. This is Prayer on Newfound Releases.
I couldn't sleep all night, avoid the morning light, can't get my makeup right. I should ignore. Why can't I lock that door? I just wanna lose myself inside another breakdown. I'm too proud to call for help, and now I'm on the last round. Just like
Ash Molloy For You on Newfound Releases with Breakdown. We now go to a band that calls themselves the Evil Beatles on their Instagram profile. We go to Boys Who Think, and here's their debut single from the alternative four-piece band. This is Prayer on Newfound Releases.
Are here for the day they fear to see, but I'm here in the shadows.
Boys Who Think for you on Newfound Releases with Prayer. We're going to be hearing a lot more from them in the days, months, years, and decades to come, really. Well, we go from an up-and-coming starting band to an established singing-songwriting dynamo. We go to Tim Baker next, and he released his first Christmas album, and I believe this is his fourth studio album overall as a solo artist. It is called Rainbow Full of Light, and this is a fantastic record. And go get it wherever you get your music, whether it's on CD, vinyl, or streaming services. Support your local musicians. Right now, from Full Rainbow of Light, here is Tim Baker for you now with Light the Light on Newfound Releases.
Happiness to all my friends and to all I have in there. It's not the Christmas that we dreamt, and it isn't over yet. Yeah, all my records and my decorations and secondhand things. All of the presents that I wanted to get you, well, it wasn't much to read. But I ain't just talking, I don't care what you want. It's not the Christmas that we dreamt, but still it is in the way yet. When we arrive, they'll be spilling their wine, they'll be swinging the side door in. And our empty hands are just open hands, and that's the only way to feel it.
That was Tim Baker for you on Newfound Releases with Light the Light. And our last Newfound Release of the week is a long-anticipated debut single from Cha 3. Now, Cha 3 consists of Ching Cha, Richie Perez, and Brian Doughton. This is very post-rock, very art-rock kind of sounding, and then you add the Gooch into it. I've seen these guys live countless times, and it's about damn time that they got their first official studio release out to the public. They're working on this with Laughing Heart Music, but of course they worked on the mixing and recording of this new album and song with Matt Dines of Hurricane Music. Right now, from their upcoming album set to be out next year, here are Cha 3 with Another Day on Newfound Releases. That wraps up our newfound releases for the week. Another great selection there that we brought your way. And just compiling the releases for next week's podcast, there are some gems in there, so stay tuned to my socials. In the meantime, if you want to find out more about newfound releases, I got a guide on my linktree.com/ZachSnowNL, and you can click on it and you'll find out everything that you need to know about how and who qualifies for the segment, and when you need to submit your package and what to include in it. Any other questions, comments, or concerns about new fan releases, feel free to email musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. Now, who is next to connect on Musical Connections? Well, I'm glad to be reconnecting with the lead singer and co-founder of the Irish Descendants, Mr. Con O'Brien. We talk about everything in between when it comes to the music industry, plus we talk about the upcoming Irish Descendants Christmas tour with Rum Ragged, coming up, which starts November 22nd in Liverpool, Nova Scotia. So if there are any listeners out there in Nova Scotia, I certainly hope you're listening, and I hope you go down to that concert. They're going to be making stops in Nova Scotia, PEI, New Brunswick, Ontario, and they're also going to be making stops here in Newfoundland and Labrador, which includes one here in St. John's on December 21st at the Arts and Culture Center. We also talk about the upcoming 35 for 35 project, which comes out in about a couple of weeks' time. They got the full project in their hands. Now it's just to be put out to the public. And he also talks about some plans that he got cooking, but not really set in stone yet, but they're thinking about doing for the 35th anniversary. This is such a great conversation. I know Con loves to talk, and this is great for this show because we love to dig deep into what makes our scene so special. And Con is a really good reason of why this show exists, because he tells a lot of great stories and he has a lot of great facts and opinions about our sector. So let's not waste any more time and reconnect with the lead singer of the Irish Descendants, Mr. Con O'Brien. Greetings, everybody. I'm Zach Snow. Welcome back to Musical Connections. This is the second half of the show, Next to Connect. Well, joining me right now, this guy needs no introduction. He is one of the founding members of the Irish Descendants and is still their lead singer after 35 years. And this group is turning 35 years old next year. And to celebrate that, they're going to be putting out a brand new box set called 35 for 35, which includes three CDs or three vinyls, a brand new poster of one of their best songs, Rattlin' Bog, and a 100-page book about the history of the group. And that is going to be a good Christmas gift for anybody who is an Irish Descendants fan. And on a note of Christmas, they are going to be going across the Maritimes starting on November 22nd in Liverpool, Nova Scotia. And they'll be making stops in Newfoundland, which includes a stop here in St. John's, December 21st. And they'll be touring with Mark Manning and Aaron Collis of Rum Ragged. I'm so happy to welcome back to Next to Connect, Con O'Brien of the Irish Descendants. Con, welcome back.
Thank you, Zach. Nice to be here.
And this is actually our first time doing a face-to-face interview.
I know. We've talked many, many times, and we've done interviews in other formats, but this is wonderful. It's lovely to be part of your show.
And thank you so much again for coming on, and welcome to the studio. Not a bad studio here that I've got.
Lovely. Good for you. I'm delighted to see you doing it. You're one of the fellas that in modern times, you've been a breath of fresh air to watch you and support you, and all the support that you give all the artists is very, very appreciated, I can tell you that.
Well, I'm glad to be a champion of Newfoundland and Labrador music and getting to support you guys and any other musician that I featured over the past 101 episodes. It's
wow.
Crazy.
Wow. So I'm 101. That's excellent. I'm glad to be part of it.
And you were here last year as we talked about your Christmas tour with Rum Ragged. It was the first time you guys have done a Christmas tour together. But this is going to be your second year doing it. You're going to be joined by Mark Manning and Aaron Collis, the founding members. And they pretty much are Rum Ragged. No offense to Zach and Colin, but like those guys are Rum Ragged.
Yeah.
So you're going to be starting November 22nd in Liverpool, Nova Scotia.
Yes, we start the tour in Nova Scotia. Liverpool at the Astor Theatre is the first show. The second show is in Halifax at the Rebecca Cohen, which is a beautiful big theatre. I haven't played the Rebecca Cohen in probably 15 years or so.
Wow.
So it's nice to be back in. I love the theatres. Theatres are wonderful. So we have several shows in Nova Scotia. Then we head to Ontario. We're playing in Toronto at Hughes Room. We have two nights and they're pretty well sold out. And then we go to Ottawa for the National Arts Centre. We're going to be playing there, which is, for us, is a big deal to be playing the neck. And then back to Newfoundland, then all back over to Nova Scotia again and PEI for a few shows. But we'll do the similar sort of itinerary in Newfoundland as we've always done. A couple of shows in Cornerbrook, a couple of shows in several different venues, and then up to Labrador for two shows in Goose Bay and Lab West. So it's, you know, this year we've gone, I think that we did 18 shows last year. This year we've expanded to do 26, so we're starting to tour a nice bit earlier, and it's going to be a whirlwind type of event. And, you know, an Irish Descendants Christmas with special guests Mark Manning and Aaron Collis is a special night. We have some changes in the band from last year, so that's going to be something new for the crowd, and we'll talk about that, I guess, so as we go through. But,
yeah,
you know, a change in the Irish Descendants is nothing new, but we have two new players in the band replacing Justin Hickey and Terry Lynn Hickey, who they're getting really busy with their own outfit, Kitchen Party. So we were starting to have some conflicts, and those guys decided to move on. And we've replaced them with a beautiful young fiddler from Sackville, New Brunswick, who's living here in St. John's these days. People will know her. She's playing with all the bands on George Street. Her name is Madeline Carter.
She's amazing.
She's an amazing fiddle player. Of course, we have Rowan, who plays fiddle and mandolin and piano for this tour. He'll have him on mandolin and piano. And a new bass player, Jeff Kinsman, who I've been working with forever. Jeff is a great sound man. He's played with lots of different bands, so I've known Jeff for many years around the local music scene, so he joins us as well. So when we come together with the two groups, we don't separate them. We come together on stage as a six-piece band, so we rehearse their material, they've rehearsed ours. We finished the rehearsals yesterday because the boys
are wonderful.
They're out this week, and we won't see each other. They go to Ottawa with Rum Ragged earlier this week and early next week. And I'm up in Nova Scotia doing press 2 days before the tour, and then we all come together on the 22nd in Liverpool to start and kick it off.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I was actually going to ask the changes to the band, because you have added Madeline Carter. She also plays with a lot of people downtown. Tyler Humber, Black Gold with Darcy, Kevin and Larry, two of the original founding members of the Irish Descendants.
That's
and
right.
Kevin Evans, who is a really talented musician and performer. And you also got Jeff Kinsman, who's played in The Reels and Rugged Shores.
Yep.
And of course, Justin Hickey and Terry Lynn Hickey, of course, they are getting busy with Kitchen Party. They're really starting to explode right now.
They're really doing very well. And
they're really making their own name.
Great songwriters, great singers and musicians. So, you know, when you have two bands working together in Newfoundland, it's tough sometimes when you're doing shows and booking shows. And what ends up happening is that there's conflicts in the scheduling. And so we decided to let them continue on. They're happy. They're very happy. They just signed a management deal, as far as I understand.
With Hurricane Music, with David Shears.
Yeah. So they're going concern, and I wish them well. They're just sweethearts, two very talented individuals. So
yeah, because Justin was the longest serving member of the Irish Descendants, aside from you. He was on the group for 9 years, and Terry Lynn recently just came in, and they were big parts of the Irish Descendants Christmas album that you put out last year.
Yeah.
And they had their own song, Must Be Christmas, which is personally one of my favorite songs from
song.
That new record.
Great song. I like this one that they have out, Who Knit You. I love that one.
Oh, it's a great tune.
Great song. But over the years, Justin was in the band for, I think, 8 or 9 years. Patty Moran is probably the longest serving member of the Irish Descendants. He was in over 10 or 11 years.
Yeah, not counting you.
Not counting me. Well, I've been there for all of it. But Boomer Stamp. Boomer played drums for 7 or 8 years. I think, I don't know if you know Boomer, but Boomer's played with everybody.
Wonderful Grand Band and stuff.
So I think the Irish Descendants are a band that Boomer played with longer than any other band he's ever been in.
Oh, yes.
And he's another sweetheart. I've been very blessed, Zach, with, attracting great players into the ensemble. The brand of the Irish Descendants carries on. And, the original lineup changes in 1997. So, that's 26 or 27 years ago now. And, the work that we did back then and the work we continued to do throughout the last 35 years is certainly, been a great legacy. And for me, I've been lucky enough to be the constant in that mixture, and I've attracted great players over the years. It's like when we get to talk about the 35 for 35 project, which thankfully is just about here. So we We're going to have it on, I think, before this will be aired. It should be in, available to people to pick up. But we're doing pre-orders on our website right now. If you want to go pre-order it, go get it, because, you know, there's a limited number of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get tickets to the Christmas shows there as well. So it's but going through that, the process of that, which we were delighted to have you part of.
Oh, thank you so much again.
Was you did the discography for us, which was you know the body of work. You've seen it all. Picking 35 songs out of all that material was a challenge. And we got through that, especially with vinyl. You know, you only have so much space on it, and you only have like 22 minutes or 23 minutes per side to fill up, and trying to get 35 songs on three LPs was a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
And but that we managed to get through that pretty well. But what was really fulfilling for me was putting together the history. You know, going through all of the things, the first, the you know, the wonderful things that we got to do. That was an amazing process for me, re-listening to the material. You know, you don't listen to your own songs as much as you do.
Yeah.
And replaying some of the songs still from the very early albums. And, you know, we can't get away from playing the Rattling Bog or Cape St. Mary's or Catch the Wind. But there's been a lot of records and a lot of songs. And listening to them all, and as you consider them, was a great exercise. And then going through, you know, there's been over 30 people in the band.
That's insane.
So it's you know, and reconnecting and trying to, you know, piece together what happened and when it happened, and talking to the individuals as I was going through that process. And it took me the best part of a year to do it. We're very pleased with it. Everybody out there in the industry who knows Judd Haynes's work will be blown away.
He's remarkable.
It's an extremely impressive package. And, you know, you just cannot, comes in this beautifully gold embossed box, beautiful artwork, beautiful graphic. It's on, if anybody wants to have a quick look at it, you can go on our website and see
IrishDescendants.com, right?
TheIrishDescendants.com.
TheIrishDescendants.com.
And or on our Facebook page. And we're even on, these days, where Rowan is in taking charge of the socials. So I'm on TikTok and everything. I was going around last week to get to shoot and shove stuff for TikToks. And, which is great, you know, like embracing the new technology and looking forward to, you know, what way you're going to go with, you know, do you make records anymore? That's the next question.
Yeah.
In the world. I mean, and, you know, your generation is consuming music in a much different way than my generation did. And my parents' generation, the people, you know, who are fans of the band, go back into the baby boomers, and we're right now up, I don't know, I don't even know all these generations, but, you know, my kids are 19 and 16. They're listening to records. And it's come full circle, and that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
To part of, yeah.
Because when you consider that, like, we grew up in the streaming generation, but my generation, I would say I'm close to the end of millennials, start of Gen Z, because I was born in 96.
Yep.
And we were the last ones to like use VHSs, but we were still using CDs and DVDs. But we were really some of the first ones to use streaming services like Spotify and Apple Music. But I think also with the generations that have gone on, like millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha now, they're bringing back records in a big way. And I've mentioned this to many guests here on the podcast before. Records are outselling CDs for the first time in... Geez, 40 years,
well,
which
Tony,
is insane.
Tony up the fridge told me that 80% of their sales are now LPs, are now vinyl. And people are, you know, like my boys are, the oldest fella, they're looking for, they're going through the secondhand stores and they're going through the flea markets watching for, you know, retro stuff. They're, you know, they're picking up, you know, things that they're interested in, you know, that was produced 35, 40 years ago. So that's really an interesting thing. One of the things about that format and the changes, because you know, when we first started, we were on cassettes. Then CD show up. We're the first Newfoundland band to put out a CD.
Yeah, because the only other CD out at the time was Another Time.
Another Time was a compilation album that Kelly Russell did, which was great.
Fantastic
album, and you know, did various artists, but he put that out. But we had put out Misty Morning Shore, and then later on put it out on CD, and you know, that was cutting edge at the time. I always remarked, though, that coming back into vinyl is fulfilling for the artists, because even in the streaming, you know, like what really puts a big fly in the ointment for us is Napster. Napster shows up, and now you can download and steal the music, take it from the internet free. And there's no, you know, as artists try and figure a way through this, and streaming platforms come through. But when you make a record, you think about it, and you select, you know, 12 or 15 songs to put on an album. And there's a, you know, usually a running theme. There's a method to the madness of the selections of the material. And with streaming, people are not listening to full albums.
They're listening to singles.
They're listening to singles, and they're buying singles. And instead of, you know, listening to the full body of work, which we take a lot of time and pride in preparing, now with vinyl, I remember being over to Judd's house a couple of years ago, and we're talking about another project. This is probably 5 or 6 years ago. And he was doing something from some work for me, and I was over. And he said, "Do you mind if I put on a record?" And I hadn't heard a record in 30 years. And he puts it on, and I don't remember the title or what it was, but we listened to the whole thing. When side A was done, he got up out of his chair and he went over and flipped the record over and listened to the full side B. People have to listen to the whole thing. They can't just click a button.
No.
Or tell Alexa to change the song. So that's an interesting thing. And I think for musicians, when they're thinking about putting out records, because, you know, singles are where it is these days. You go up on TikTok and do a song and you can become a sensation these days. You don't even have to put out a record.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the mindset of what you're going to do and how you're going to approach producing new music is something that I have to depend on folks like you to advise me, because, you know, I'm old school. I'm, you know, I mean, I recorded my first couple of albums on tape. So that'll tell you how long before the digital format comes in. You know, we're recording on, where you're over editing with a razor blade. So that'll
tell you. That's nuts. But like, I think we do have an appreciation for nostalgic items like a vinyl record or a cassette. I mean, I have about 200, 250 vinyl records at home that I collect. They're all stuff from that were released here in Newfoundland and Labrador back in like the 60s and 70s. And I do that just to collect it and to preserve it, because while a lot of songs these days are on streaming services, there may be one or two songs that you really love and you really want to listen to that may just be on a record, and it makes you really work harder for it.
It does. And you know, as we change from, you know, from different formats out of analog into digital format CDs, and then subsequently streaming and downloading, we don't even need, you know, they don't even put CD players in cars anymore. So, you know, producing CDs now is becoming redundant. You sell some to the older generations that still have their CD players in their houses. Some people want that tactile thing. They want something in their hand, which, you know, you have to provide for. But, you know, the days of producing several thousand copies of an album are over. So we have to find a new way, and it's a challenge. And as we go forward, you know, I'm the Gen Zers, they have a whole language of their own. I don't understand some of the things they're saying. My boys are saying stuff like, "What are you talking about?" They have their own words, you know. Like, so it's interesting to see how modern things and pop culture change, and to be part of that. You know, I'm going into my, I'm into my fourth decade of being a professional musician, and the changes that I've seen are, you know, unbelievable. And, you know, I can sit in my room today and record a piece of a song. And if I want a fiddle player in Nashville to play on it, I just send it down to them and they play it.
Yeah.
And send it back to me. That was unheard of. You know, back in the old days, you had to go through an awful lot of a process. People had to be there to do it.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the positive things that technology has done. Like, you can send like a demo vocal of a song that you're working on, and then you can like say, "Hey, here's the way I want to play it on fiddle," and they'll just send it right back to you. Like,
that's right.
What technology I find has had the most positive impact on when it comes to, you know, making music, because you don't really need to be down in a studio anymore in order to record it. But there's nothing that replaces that, you know, being in the studio and doing stuff off the floor.
Well, you know, there's that, and the other side of it is you'll think about where your ability to reach out broad, your broad reach now. And I know that I regularly get email or text messaging from a bar, an Irish bar in Seoul, South Korea, called O'Kim's, who will, the guy there programming the music will say, or he just played an Irish Descendants song. So, you know, when I think about the reach that you're capable of having, someone can as easily listen to you in Hawaii this morning as they're going down through their streaming list and come across you. So you have the ability to gain fans in far off distant places that you didn't have before. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, as the industry changes, you know, that you've got to make changes with it. So
absolutely.
That's the way you have to approach it. And for me, you know, I mean, again, coming full circle back into vinyl, this is my first offering on vinyl, and it's a big deal.
So let's go into that next. 35 for 35 is coming out within the next month or so.
That's right.
And it has 3 CDs, and also there's going to be, for your first time ever, 3 vinyl records. As someone who started their careers with their first album, Misty Morning Shore, on cassette and CD, to come back to vinyl, tell me a little bit more on how excited you are to have an Irish Descendants album on vinyl.
Well, I can remember as a kid buying records back in the late 70s and all through about the 80s. I can remember the first record I ever had was an album by Bachman Turner Overdrive called Fragile. I think it was called Fragile. I won it on a radio contest, and we're just, you know, luckily enough, picked up the sequin to the station, pick up the record.
Yes.
And we had record players. I mean, you know, every household had a record player. My first music was listening to the Carlton Show Band and Figgy Duff putting out their records and Sons of Erin records. And I, you know, for me, that's the kind of music that was in my house. My father was buying, and my parents were buying, Ryan's Fancy albums and the Dubliners and all those kinds of things. So for that to go to the wayside, all these vinyl records pushed in a corner or unbelievably destroyed. But still today, if you go in the sheds and, you know, the attics and basements of houses in Newfoundland, you're going to find treasures on top of treasures. And to see that change and that whole transition and to go through it, is an interesting part of music history, really, when you think about it. And what lies ahead is the next road that you're going to have to go down. And I'm looking forward to that. I figure that I have another 15 years left to me. I want to be like the Irish Rovers. They're celebrating the 50th anniversary this year. So why can't I?
Right? And the Sons of Erin celebrated 50 years back in, I think it was 2018?
Well, you know, as I went through the whole process of 35 for 35, there's lots of material about how we come together. And we come together because of the likes of the Sons of Erin. Sons of Erin show up in Newfoundland in 1969. In that band, you had Ralph O'Brien, you had Dermot O'Reilly, you had Fergus O'Byrne, Don Sullivan was another fellow. They came here to tour Newfoundland, for the very first time. They come back because the music's well received. The next rendition of them comes back. Dennis Ryan is in it. Then the boys peer off and form
Ryan's Fancy.
Then they move here, you know, and later on they move here and set up their families here. That allows us to have access to them. And what spawned out of that was, you know, band after band after band, the Irish Descendants. You get the Masterless Men, which were Col Cannon originally.
Yeah, Col Cannon, I think.
Yeah, they had that, and then you had Irish Coffee come out of that. And Darcy played with Ralph and the Sons of Erin. I mean, that all spawns out of that. All that really happens because of a little bar in Toronto called Jimmy McVeigh's or McVeigh's Windsor House, which is still alive and well. You go down there today. That's where I meet Derek Harrington.
Wow.
Derek Harrington is playing there with Jimmy Carton. And Jimmy, they come down here opening up one of the hotels back in the late 80s. And I'm saying, wow, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I want to do that. And but it all spawns out of, you know, a small little group of individuals coming out of that one little pub, in downtown Toronto. And then Aaron's Pub shows up. And look what comes out of Aaron's Pub. I mean, you just can't count them. They're, every band that you see, Kitchen Party, is spawned out of that work. Sons of Aaron used to work there. Con, Ron, and Tom, which is me, Ronnie Power, and a fellow mate by the name of Tom Badcock, were the first band to play alongside of the Sons of Aaron in Aaron's Pub.
Wow.
When the boys were still going out on the road and traveling, we'd fill in. And used to work Wednesday through Sunday there. That's how we get our name. Ralph O'Brien gives us the name because we were called Conran and Tom, and someone called up wondering whether or not the Condoms were playing this weekend, which is a true story. And
I believe it.
Ralph's wife, Phil, who was a beautiful lady, comes out around the bar and says, "Boys, you got to change the name." And Ralph was here, and he says, "Well, why don't you call it the Descendants?" And that's 1986, so that's 4 years before the Irish Descendants form. Irish Descendants form because Irish Coffee are a going concern. They had a vinyl record. They're one of the last ones to produce a vinyl record.
Yeah, that's one of the rarest vinyl records
that's
I find.
Very rare thing to find.
You go on like a vinyl record website. I think it's about over 500 bucks.
That's right, because they're short. They're you know, I mean, there was only a small number of them produced. They recorded that up on top of Long's Hill at Echo Music. I bought my first real good guitar in the same shop. You know, it's such a small little world. And, you know, Shiny Ganach, the Hunters, the Reels, you know, you name it. They all come out of that legacy. And to have been a part of that early on for me, you know, it's, you don't realize what you've done until you think about it and you go through the body of work and you say, well, hang on now. This occurred. I was part of that. I was up sitting up at the bar, 20 years of age with Dermot O'Reilly and Ralph O'Brien singing Sam Hall at 3 o'clock in the morning after everything was shut down. And, you know, I learned at the knees of these, you know, right at the knees of these really, really professional Irish musicians. And, you know, very fortunate to have been a part of that.
Oh, for sure. Now, the 35 for 35 collection, as I said before, is coming out soon.
We're hoping to have it in our hands early next week. It's all ready. It's just getting ready for shipping now.
So when you were putting together this collection, you took about a year or so to put this together.
Yeah.
What was one of the odd things that you discovered while going through all this, history of the Irish Descendants?
Well, what I really discovered was how many people, had their own memories, whether they were in the band or people that I talked to who have, you know, you can get people to come up to you and say, we met at your show and we got married using one of your songs. And that's you know, the testimonials of the fans that you spoke to, the promoters, you know, like I have correspondence from the record company. So the vice president of Warner Music wrote a beautiful letter talking about, you know, the impact of us signing an international recording deal. We're the first Newfoundland band to do that. The industry was looking this way because of bands like, Rita McNeil was huge by this time, becoming huge. The Rankin family, they were with EMI. And the industry was, you know, all of a sudden seeing a great deal of commercial opportunity here. Misty Morning Shore comes out. We sell 16,000 records. You couldn't do that today because of the changes in the industry.
Oh,
but what happened was is that, you know, they saw other labels having successes, and they wanted one of their own. And so for us, we were the first band on the East Coast that Warner Music Canada signed.
Yeah.
And that's a 5-album international recording deal, a big deal. And I can it'll tell you right in his letter, as we're, you know, progressing and putting out the first record, which was Look to the Sea. You know, they were the A&R guy, Kim Cook. I introduced him to his wife in Toronto at one of our album launches. So those connections are strong. But Dave Tollington, who signed us was a big influence on us. He writes this and he writes it in his letter, and I didn't realize what the impact of it was. But, you know, when we had signed, he came to me and said, back in the 90s, "So have you got any other suggestions for us?" You know, if you got anybody out there that you think would be would fit the bill, and for me, immediately I say, Great Big Sea. Great Big Sea is, you know, they're the same vintage as us. They start as Rankin Street ahead of us, and they're a going concern. Great band, lots of energy, and they subsequently sign them, and then they go on to become multi-platinum. Huge, huge commercial success. Natalie McMaster was the next one. All that spawns off of us being there and being part of that first initial wave. And, you know, that gets lost on you sometimes when you watch. I mean, I've been watching with awe, you know, the work that the Great Big Sea Boys have done and what they've managed. I mean, what I've done is only a small fraction of what they've done. But, you know, they opened for us. They're opening shows. We're opening for the Irish Descendants at the TSC back in the early 90s. So, you know, it's interesting to see that, and to be part of that too was, you know, it's a fulfilling, you know, you feel good to be able to say that, you know, your work had influence on others. And as it goes on and on, for me, I'm looking at one of your signs over on the wall there. Thomas Trio and the Red Albino, they were huge. They were huge influence on me. They were doing it. They were taking their kind of music, which was, you know, much different than ours, but they were going across the country playing from here to Vancouver and every university. And it was an inspirational, you know, we realized that our music was not just our artistry. It was a business to be worked on. And that gave us a lot of initiative and a lot of drive to want to do it.
For sure. Now, Thomas Trio and the Red Albino, of course, that's Jody Richardson and the Thomas brothers, Danny, Louie, and Lil. Louie Thomas ended up becoming Great Big Seas and now Alan Doyle's manager.
That's right.
Danny Thomas is a well-respected sound tech in the Maritimes. I don't know what Lil is up to these days.
Lil is one of the best guitar players on earth, so I'm sure he's busy playing music, and they're such sweet sweethearts. There was Laurie Cooper was also in that band. We can't leave Laurie out. You know, that band was, you know, for us, they were the first ones to really drive it home. That aside from, I mean, there's others that we shouldn't forget about, because in the Southern Ontario marketplace in the, you know, late 60s and, excuse me, the early 70s, you got guys like A. Frank Willis, you got Eddie Coffey, you have Dick Nolan, you have Peter Francis Quinlan. They were all expatriate Newfoundlanders who went to work and live in Harry Hibbs. You know,
that's one of the big ones.
Big one. I mean, you know, Harry made many, 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 you know, groundbreaking recordings, and they were playing to expatriate Newfoundlanders in Southern Ontario. The mines in Belle Island closed down, and 5,000 people moved to Galt, or just outside of Cambridge. And you know, we're still playing to the same families that now you're in third and fourth and fifth generation now, but those people are still there. They're all around Brampton. They're all in the same area. You go to Cambridge or Kitchener, lots of Newfoundlanders. That's all from that onslaught, and the music that comes out of it. You know, we did lots of work with especially A. Frank. I mean, I have an A. Frank song on the Christmas album.
Hello, Mom and Dad is one of my favorites.
Hello, Mom and Dad, and you know, you cannot forget the amount of effort and work that they put in it, the pride they put into, you know, telling their story. They were, you know, they were forced to leave here. I mean, I used to run into A. Frank in Fort McMurray. He was living in his van, parked in the parking lot of the place he was playing. That was the way he worked.
Wow.
And he went around. He went around the country, and you know, all those guys paved the way for us as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important. They're important.
Yeah, and the record industry these days is very, very different. It's more of an independent game than ever before. There are some acts here that are coming out of Newfoundland and Labrador. One of the biggest examples for me, someone who's actually played with Tyler Humber, Ashley Malloy, who now goes by Ash Malloy. She signed Universal Music Canada to Wax Records, that division,
yep. And
she's making some noise up in Ontario as well. Where do you see the music industry these days? Do you find it's more of an independent game, or do you see if there's like an opportunity for big record companies to invest in the music of this province?
Well, I don't know how that's going to work, Zach, and it's a sad thing, because when you do have a record label behind you, you do have the machine of the record label, which is, you know, you got an A&R department, you have a publicity department, and, you know, they have connections for distribution across the country, which is crucial. Even in the times when there's no, you know, record sales and actual physical sales of CDs are not like they used to be. But again, we're going back to vinyl. So like Aisling, you know, she's a very talented young lady. She's I've been watching her for a few years now. And so to see that kind of thing happening, the internet is powerful. I did something the other day for Remembrance Day. I put up a song down at the War Memorial, very impromptu, a one-take version of a great Newfoundland anti-war song called The Valley of Kilbride. 8,000 or 9,000 people watched that in a couple of days. And so that's how, you know, 35 years ago, to have 8,000 or 9,000 people consume your work that you put out this morning, and, you know, 2 days later, 8,000 people had seen it. That was unheard of then. So harnessing that power, again, it's hard to understand what to do, because I make records. I'm used to making records. I'm used to getting ready for, you know, putting together 12 or 15 songs. And that may not be the approach anymore. I think, you know, I watched this guy from Ireland. Giroud, is it Giroud McCarthy?
I don't know if it's Giroud or Giroud McCarthy.
I think it's Giroud is how they pronounce, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I've seen the crowd for his performances when the Broaders had their Fall Fest.
Yeah.
Insane.
Now, at the same night, now, I've seen him on previous times and wonderful. You know, and I watch him on TikTok and I'm watching his Facebook. And he's singing the same songs that we're singing, really. And there's not that much of a difference in the presentation. But like when he was here, he put 1,300 people in the Delta, maybe more. And as an aside, you know, that's how powerful that format is, and that's how powerful the internet is. Because in a place like Newfoundland, where that music is very well, you know, received, he's the type of guy that can come into town and have great successes. You know, like I went to see Danu on the Sunday night, the night that he was down in the Delta. Danu, who was one of the top Irish bands on earth, they've been together for 30 years, you know, one of the premier Irish music exports. They only had a small crowd at the Arts and Culture Centre simply because they don't have that same sort of, you know, the demographic is different, you know, getting the word out on them a little different. They're like the Chieftains on, you know, on times two. They're that kind of good, and the show was amazing. And of course, Billy Sutton is in the band.
Oh yes.
So that was the reason that a lot came out. But again, it shows you the power of social media and tens of thousands of people. You can reach them instantly.
Yes, and you got to be consistent on that too, because you don't have like a post or two or three a day. You're pretty much lost to the shuffle.
That's
otherwise,
right.
You're dead.
You're dead in the water. People have very short
attention spans
now. So they don't want 3 minutes of music. 30 seconds does them sometimes. You don't even have to put the whole song up. But, you know, it gives you, if I put up 30 seconds of a song and you like it and take it, you might listen to it a couple of times over the period of the day or two that it's out there. But it also gives you, maybe it'll incite you to go to the website. Maybe it'll make you go to Spotify or Apple Music and download something or stream something. So it's just like a snowball. And it builds and it builds and it builds. And I'm learning slowly because I have young people in the band and these things are important. That's how you express yourself.
Absolutely.
And it's important to be on top of that and come up with, you know, new ways of going about. I saw the other day, I don't even know the band, but Jeff Younghusband, they were down doing an in-store.
Jigger?
Maybe, yeah, and they did a pre-listen to the first cut of their LP. So it's, you know, it's their first listen and before they press it. And I said to myself, wow, that's a cool thing to do. Instead of an in-store with the band, now you have an in-store where fans come down and they listen to the very first offering. You know, and it gives people something to do. The record store is happy with it. You know, because you got to, you know, trying to keep a place like Fred's and O'Brien's open, it's tough. I mean, you know, when people are not buying CDs anymore and, you know, the market is, the marketplace has diminished, and people, you know, coming through events like that, and because they saw it on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so important, and harnessing that, you know. I think the police are coming to get a sec.
Or maybe the fire department, because, you know, we have so much great talent here in this province. Like, we have never been hotter when it comes to the music that is coming out of this province, whether it's traditional folk, whether it's contemporary music, whether it's country music, which has really exploded lately with Mallory Johnson, Mallory, Jason Benoit, Justin Fancy, Carolina East. Some new artists like Darcy Scott are coming up. Mackenzie Critch.
Then you have the Wants and the Fortunate Ones.
Very established names,
international, you know, and Andrew O'Brien and his partner going around.
Catherine Allen.
Catherine, you know, like, I mean, what's the other group?
Quote the Raven.
Quote the Raven. You know, I did shows with Quote the Raven last year, up in up at the Stan Rogers Music Festival. They blew me away. Like, they blew me away.
Jordan's range is insane, but Kirsten's no slouch either.
They're very, very talented people. And, you know, they're treasures, and they're playing all over the world. And, you know, the music associations are more important now than they ever were, because you don't have that, you know, to get the international reach. You go into the ECMAs or New Music Newfoundland, or Nova Scotians have the same. They have their thing. And they have, those connections have now been established. There's been bands that have gone through over the last 20 years that have had success. So there's a track record. And even for me, I showcased this year at Music NL's export, showcase. And that was important for us because, you know, even though we're 35 years old, there's lots of people who from outside of here don't know who the hell we are.
Yes, because there could be opportunities for you guys to, like, be showcased outside of Newfoundland and Labrador.
Sure.
You could be going, like, say, to, like, England or maybe Australia.
That's
or
right.
Maybe, like...
The work doesn't come immediately, but you like, I mean, I know that we made, my manager, Bruce Morrell, made good contacts there. Going to work on opportunities in the future. So it may not happen in 25, but in 26, we may get to see the fruit of that... you know, that just
sure.
Sowing that seed, and it's important. And I'm a seasoned entertainer, and I have a big body of work. And if I'm able to garner something new and fresh and build and continue to break new ground, that doesn't hurt anybody here. That's good for everybody.
For sure.
And what Fortunate Ones, what Quote the Raven have done, what the Wants have done, that's all... excellent, excellent exposure for all of us. And, you know, the more of that, the merrier. I never felt that there was competition. When they asked me who would I suggest for Warner, I had no problem saying Great Big Sea. It didn't challenge me that way. I wasn't looking at it as competition. You know, I mean, Chris Andrews and I talk regularly. He shares with me all the time. And if we can collaborate together on shows, things happen together. He's doing that with other people, and that's a very important thing.
Because it seems like back then you really weren't a gatekeeper. You were really about, you know, just a collaborator, because you really want to help the Newfoundland and Labrador music industry go, not just for what it was at the time, but to continue it to now in 2024 and soon 2025.
Yeah, well, you know, at the time, there was very few musical groups doing it as a full-time living. Most people were, you know, day jobs and performing on the weekends.
It seems like it's still happening these days too.
That there is a certain amount of that, but there is a lot of things that, like, you know, there was, you know, when we started out first, there was no other band taking the opportunity. Thomas Trio, they were going across the country. There was another one from Long Harbor. Pressure Drop was a reggae band. Was Jim Fiddler. And some of the boys in that band, they were a major thing. And there was the band that Rob Cook had,
Young Saints.
Young Saints were another one. And there was a band from Long Harbor. What's the name of the? Not Pressure Drop. They were, you know, they were touring the university circuit and getting outside of Newfoundland a bit.
Mm.
And I'll think of them now before, you know, you get old. You know, there's so, it's not that I'm forgetting. I'm just so much stuff up there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you've had so much experience performing through the 35 years. You've been in, with the Irish Descendants in over 4 decades. You've been a musician. There's so much you've either known or forgotten. But we can talk about this till the cows go home. But I want to bring this in a little bit because I want to get into a new project that you've done recently called A Feed of Fish.
Oh,
you've done this down at the O'Brien's Boat Tours in Bay Bowls. Yeah. It's you and Yvette Favaro. And you have a fish dinner and you see some of your old songs that you played with the Irish Descendants, sprinkling some new songs as well. What has that project been like for you?
Well, before the music business for me, so the first 25 years or 26 years of my life was consumed by being involved in the cod fishery, the inshore cod fishery. All of the Irish Descendants members worked in the fishery.
Yeah, the original members.
Yeah, all the original members when we started. But for me, my family had a huge, you know, processing business, frozen fish. And I grew up when I was born on May 28, 1966. It was at the beginning of the cod trap season. And from that day to the day that John Crosby shuts it down on July 2nd, 1992, my whole life was fish. And when you say the word fish in Newfoundland, it means cod. Salmon is not fish in Newfoundland. If you said you had fish for supper tonight, in most places people would say, oh yeah, codfish. Cod was the king. The reason all of this exists is because John Cabot showed up here in 1497 and could hoist it up over the side of his vessel in a basket. And for 500 years, this place, the European existence in this place, and the Aboriginals that were here before us, you know, the codfish factors in. That's the central thing. That's our wheat. And so, you know, growing up, I had lots of stories. I have lots of recollections. I grew up in a fish plant. We bought fish from St. Shots and up on the southern tip of the Avalon Peninsula, right down to Ballyhean East. And everywhere in between, and I knew the people, and I could tell the stories. So what Feed of Fish was just little vignettes of experiences that I had, and I just told our story. And as evenings progressed, locals were coming, interspersed with the tourists, and Yvette and I would get up there. And I had a little road map to go through, but I'd see someone coming through the door from Torskov. I'd tell a story from Torskov. And I'd get to the point where people were coming, and as soon as they came through the door, I was able to, my skill of being a storyteller sharpened up a lot over the years. So that was, it was just a wonderful, I had them there sitting, Zach, friends of mine that we grew up together, with grown men with tears rolling down their eyes, because it brought back their story. It's, you know, you're too young to understand what happened here.
I know.
You know, on that day when John Crosby shuts down the northern cod fishery, 35,000 people very quickly in the next couple of years had to leave here, all young people. They're out in southern Ontario. They're up in Fort McMurray. I've been singing to those people. The only way I can stay here is because, you know, my music gave me the opportunity to have, you know, to make a living. And I was lucky enough to be one of the ones that gets to stay home. I'm still reaching out to my. I was talking to my brother in Fort McMurray last night. You know, the oil industry here has replaced a lot, but nothing compared to. That's the biggest layoff in Canadian history.
Yeah.
You know, imagine shutting down the auto industry in southern Ontario. What would be the effect of it? Here it was monumental, and you know we had done it for so long. The center of life was fish, down on the wharf, learning to cut a tongue, learning to use a sharp knife. So that's the story I told in A Feed of Fish. I'm going to continue it because it was very well received. And, you know, a lot of the tourism operators have come to me having seen it. And they, you know, so that's, again, similar to Sean Sullivan with his Songhouse. It's an amazing thing to have happen. You're in the heart of Irish Newfoundland with, you know, seasoned singers coming together in a kitchen of the home they were growing, where this happened. This is not contrived. That's what happened in that kitchen. Since when he was a little boy, his mother got up and sang the Rosamund Coin, and he takes just as much pride in presenting his songs and his story as I do with that kind of with the Feed of Fish. And you know, you top it off, I I'm a decent old cook. Just look at me. I introduced you to Leo's way back. And so fish is a big part of it. The codfish stew is an ancient old recipe. And people walked out of it saying to me, that's the best fish stew I ever had in my life. And that's quite the honor. And one thing to be a good singer, but if you can come up with one of the best fish stews that anybody ever tasted, that's a great thing.
Yeah, that is absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad that you're doing something like, because from as much as I've known you, as long as I've known you now, you've mainly been associated with the Irish Descendants, but now this whole new project of Feed a Fish has really put you in like a whole new like kind of world for me in my books, that you have a lot of stories to tell to the people that you grew up with in Bay Bowls, and you can tell stories to people like on the Southern Shore. Like you said, you have people coming in from Torres Cove, you have people coming in from Calvert.
Sure, I can do that. I can do that from, because my family was prolific in the fish business. You know, I can go over to Port au Grave. I can go over to Conception Bay and Trinity Bay. You know, when I grew up, when I was first born, I was 1966, my father ran the whale factory, whale factory in Dildo.
What?
So that's where I grew up. My first 5 or 6 years before they shut down the moratorium. I'm going through my second moratorium with the codfish. The whale moratorium affected my family as well. So,
wow.
So we, and my grandfather back in those days, we had 7 fish plants all over eastern Newfoundland and as far west as Lessee. So, you know, I was involved in a big way in the fishery. We could produce a lot of frozen fish every day during the inshore fishery. We had a crab plant in Mary's Harbor, Labrador. As I went up there and worked. And so my experience and my encounters with people and some, you know, very prominent people in the fishing industry, were vast. So I can go over and do Feed a Fish in Port au Grave and tell Port au Grave stories because I have lots of them.
Oh, I'd imagine so. You've been in the music industry for 4 decades. You've been a fisherman your entire life, and you've been well-versed with a lot of knowledge and a lot of stories. If there was one word or phrase to describe your career and describe your life in a nutshell, what would that be and why?
I think if you had one word for it, it's just fortunate. I went to see Portuguese White Fleet Suite. I went the second time because I thought that's where I get some inspiration for a Feed of Fishes from that particular show, and it's world class. And you know, when I was in 1980, we had White Fleet vessels coming to Bay Bulls buying fish from our factory. I went to the Grand Banks on a White Fleet vessel twice. I went, you know, I sailed, and I'm one of the probably very few Newfoundlanders. I'm at 15 years of age, sailed out to the Grand Banks with Portuguese fishermen who had been coming here for 500 years doing exactly the same thing. I lived it. I saw it. I got to see it. So, you know, that experience for me, I was, you know, fortunate to be in that place, immersed in that fishery. And then, you know, the music comes along, fortunate. Had music in our household, being of Irish descent, and you know, people Europeans in Newfoundland are from the British Isles, so that type of music is, you know, it's kind of just settled in, and it's who we are, what we are, and you know, that's the song I wrote with Ron Hines. I know my name, I know the place where I come from, I know who I am, and that story is important. The story of the fishery is important. My children, I caught out 1 million cod tongues. You can show you the tops of my fingers. Tops of my thumbs are cut to pieces from having my hand in the back end of a codfish. You never caught one. My child, my son Martin, my son Andrew, don't know what it is to cut a cod tongue. And I needed to know how to cut a cod tongue because I needed to know how to use a sharp knife. If I was going to work in the fishery, you know, that was a big part of it.
Yeah, it's because if you didn't know that, you were done.
You were done. You had to be able to produce, and you had to be efficient in your production. You know, you couldn't cut half the tongue out because you're only getting half the weight. You need to cut it all. So you had to know what you're at. Same thing with the fillet. Same thing when you're trimming the fillet. You needed to know. And every child, myself and Alan Doyle, write a song, Not for the Money Alone. And it's all about cutting out tongues. He's from Petty Harbour. My mother's from Petty Harbour. Grew up with his father, next door neighbors. They all went down to the wharf. We all went down to the wharf and at the, you know, on our knees, fighting with sharp knives as 10-year-olds for a position to be able to get involved. And that was that from here to Nain, that occurred. So that's our story. And I was fortunate enough, I'm the last generation to see it. And so Feed the Fishes, I can tell you, you know, like the morning of the moratorium, was the whole rug was pulled out. Our world had changed. I wasn't in the walls of the world thinking about a musical career. Where we had some successes. It's 2 years after the formation of the band. And, you know, we're now in our Misty Morning Shores out. And we're going, things are getting ready to do our first record for Warner. And, you know, I needed that then. I had to have something to fall back on. And, you know, the logical thing for me was to go educate ourselves. And there's anything that's good that came out of those periods of time is that the young people now had to find another way. So education was a very crucial part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you go around, if you look around the houses of Babels these days, they're doctors and they're lawyers and they're engineers and they're professional people. Some people are working in the oil patch. Some people are working offshore here. Some people are out in Alberta commuting. But there's, you know, you know, the populations really suffered. And I don't know if it'll ever recover. It's a tough place to live. And without that fish, it's a really tough place to live.
For sure. Now, of course, coming up in the next month or so, you're going to be starting your Christmas tour in Irish Descendants Christmas with your special guests, Mark and Aaron of Rum Ragged.
Yep.
You're going to be starting November 22nd in Liverpool, Nova Scotia. I believe you're wrapping up the 22nd of December in Clarenville?
That's right. Last show's in Clarenville Event Center.
And you're going to be having the 35 for 35 collection out by that time.
Yep.
What's next for Con O'Brien and what's next for the Irish Descendants?
Well, just the celebration of 35 years next year, we're working really hard to put together theater shows. You know, regular shows throughout the country. You know, we have the brand of the Irish Descendants goes from here to Vancouver. We have fans everywhere, and we're very fortunate for that. So, you know, we have the ability to go into doing some work with a guy named Vaughn Rousel. You know, Vaughn. Vaughn was actually an alumni of the band. Vaughn played bass in the band for a very short period of time, but he was a member at one point in time.
So is this before he joined he formed the Cobblestones with
yes,
Ronnie?
Before the Cobblestones. The Cobblestones come out of that.
Wow.
So there you go. That's the, you know, that's the impact that band has had. And Vaughn is now one of our premier promoters across this country.
With Vonco Entertainment.
Yeah. And so we're working with him to put a series of shows together aside from our regular things that we will, you know, our regular work that we've done and established over the last 35 years. And going back into the theater market in, you know, outside of Newfoundland, into southern Ontario, into Manitoba, into Western Canada. You know, we did a lot of work in the last 15 or 20 years in Alberta because our management or our agency work was all been done from Western Canada. My agent out there, he aged out. He retired. So I then hooked up with Bruce Morrell in Halifax. So now we're starting to see more, you know, naturally coming back to the East Coast, which is great.
Now, of course, you're going to be very busy throughout 2025. For people who want to keep up to date with the Irish Descendants, with Con O'Brien, and anything when it comes to, say, a Feed of Fish, when it comes to the 35 for 35 tour, I mentioned theirishdescendants.com. You're on TikTok. You're on Facebook. Is that the best ways people can reach you?
That is the best way. I mean, you know, ultimately people are going to want to see you. And like you said, if you don't do two or three things a week and new, fresh things, then you get lost in the shuffle.
Exactly.
So for me, I'm going to concentrate our resources into, you know, for the next year or two to see what that does, what that yields. Because going in the studio to record an album, and producing and manufacturing CDs is an expense. And you have to wonder whether or not that's worth it. Maybe it's a thing where, you know, once a month I put out a brand new song and a video to go with it. And at the end of the year, you press that into a package that works. And, you know, a lot more live presentation as a result. And that's where we're going to look at it. I'm hoping to do, you know, we're going to try and do as much as we can this year, try and get as much as the alumni back in, back involved, and see if we can get a big show. It would be lovely to have another reunion show with the original members. I'd love to do a show with us, all the originals combined with all of the alumni, as many of the alumni as you can form together. Can you imagine what kind of an event that would be?
Yeah, and then you can, like, say, for example, say you can play the Misty Morning Shore up to Living on the Edge with the original group. Sure. And then you also have, like, past that, you can have, like, the various combinations of the group throughout history.
All of the alumni played,
who knows,
played those songs from the early records. So, you know, there's no reason, you know, they all played. And one of the funny things is that when new people came into the band over the years, you didn't hardly have to rehearse because they knew it. You know, Greg Walsh played in my band. I didn't have to rehearse with Greg Walsh. Greg Walsh came with his fiddle and he knew every song. He's a protege of Darcy. You know, he had grown up listening to our music. Same thing with the Hiscock brothers. They knew it. Mike Hanrahan, Graham Wells. They all know it. They all knew it. Even Madeline. She's 21 years old. She grew up listening to our music. It's incredible to you know, she just walks in and plays it. It's just incredible.
Well, Con, man, like, we have enough stories to tell between the two of us. Well, you got enough stories for, like, another episode, but we got to wrap it up here, man. Like, I'm so thankful for all the support you've given me for my project since I've started covering the music sector from the Celtic Wake Up now to this podcast. I know you're one of the very few two-time guests that I've had on the show, and I want to get you in again for a third time, maybe next year when we have another Christmas, when you have another Christmas tour on the go.
Sure, maybe like, when the 35... We'll have a big launch of the 35 for 35 in the new year, so maybe we'll might get to do something with that. But you know, your work is really appreciated. You know, when you get someone like yourself who's legitimately interested in the music of Newfoundland and Labrador, and you know you're going out and taking a big chance, so that's an amazing thing to watch and to be, just to help out in any way, shape or form. I'm delighted. Your work, you're a young man, you're part of the 35 for 35 project, putting that discography together. So, you know, it's those connections, it's those, you know, those relationships that are built over a period of time. You know, that's invaluable. So I'm delighted to know you.
Yes, and sometimes I have a hard time expressing myself and being excited for things. But trust me, I'm like a kid in a candy store right now. But excellent. Sometimes it's hard for me to get it all out at once. No, it's just worries. Me being super eager and stuff.
You're honing your skills on the radio and podcasting, and you know, it's quite, you know, you do know how many interviews I've done over my lifetime? A lot. You know, and even for the Christmas tour right now, we hire a publicist to do our work for us.
Wendy Phillips.
We have Wendy Phillips, who's an old friend. I've known Wendy for, you know, 35 years. But that's invaluable, you know, service, that kind of service. That's, you'll be a Wendy Phillips before it's all over. And, you know, the work that you do is going to help a lot of people. And they'll recognize you're getting recognition for your work. So that's great.
Right over there on my shelf. Right, an ECMA and two Music Annals. Who knows what's going to come down the line. Con, right. Thanks again for doing this.
My pleasure, Zach, and thank you.
And that was Con O'Brien of the Irish Descendants here on the Musical Connections podcast. And if you want to find out more about Con O'Brien and the Irish Descendants, go to theirishdescendants.com or the Irish Descendants on Facebook and Instagram. Well, right now here is a song that Con talked about, that he co-wrote with Alan Doyle about, you know, the joy of cutting cod tongues. Right now from Southern Shore, here are the Irish Descendants with Money Alone on the Musical Connections podcast.
Done all that I can, tried every job under the sun. How I dearly enjoyed when yearly us boys convened for the cutting out tongues. It was the thrill of my life when I first held a knife, was told I could join in the gang. Making cash of my own with a bucket and stone makes a lad feel like more of a man. From daylight to dark, the work it was hard, especially considering our age. But when I was a kid, that's what everyone did on the beach and the wharf and the stage. We'd rush and we'd hurry through old guts and dirty. They were slippery and smelly old days. The money we got when the tables were top, though I think we earned more than our pay. It's not for the money alone. We wetted and sharpened and honed with an old knife and steel at the tables we'd need. It's not for the money alone. The year of that place on hot summer days was hard on the senses of some. But I never minded, my nose had been blinded by a grand time and work getting done. Now there's no smell at all from the spring to the fall, no loads to the gunnels to cheer. I look at my son and I think of the fun that he'll never have around here. It's not for the money alone. We wetted and sharpened and honed with an old knife and steel at the tables we kneel. It's not for the money alone. Now don't get me wrong, not everyone longs to join me as I reminisce. But just to be clear about what I'm stating here, it's not just the dollars I miss. It's that boys seldom rove down the banks to the cove. Young lives are no longer entwined. For to sharpen and hone o'er the lather and foam with a bail and a steel and a knife, it's not for the money alone. We wetted and sharpened at home with an old knife and steel at the tables we kneel. It's not for the money alone. We wetted and sharpened at home with an old knife and steel at the tables we kneel. It's not for the money alone.
Wow, wow, wow. What an episode of the podcast we just had. Big thank you to Con O'Brien for joining me as my guest this week, and to each and every single one of the musicians who contributed their songs for Newfound releases. And, of course, if you want to be a part of this podcast, it's easy. You can email musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com if you're interested in being a guest, or you want to submit your song for Newfound releases. If you want to follow me for any Musical Connections content, you can follow me at Zach Snow on Facebook. You can also follow me at Zach Snow on YouTube. Subscribe to my channel for video versions of my interviews that you hear on the podcast and any social media reels that come from it. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Zach Snow NL. And there's also all the links to my podcast on my website for Waterfront Media. waterfrontmedianl.ca/musical-connections-podcast. And new episodes drop every Tuesday at 12 noon, Newfoundland Standard Time, on your favorite podcast streaming services. And make sure to like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast to not miss an episode. Leave a comment while you're there as well, because it'll help spread the word about the show, the music industry, and it'll be a part of our mission of growing our sector, one song at a time. So every share counts. I guess you can say it one song at a time, one share at a time. Coming up on next week's show, I'm going to be welcoming Rosalind McPhail to the show as we talk about her upcoming album Push and Pull. We also talk about everything in the music industry with her, especially the Canadian Federation of Musicians.
Roslyn is always a joy to be around, and there's a video that was circling around when we recorded this conversation of her dancing. I was just like getting ready for my interview, and I was not feeling it that morning. So Roslyn is always a ray of sunshine to anyone's life. So do not miss this episode next week when it drops Tuesday at 12 noon Newfoundland Standard Time. That wraps up episode 101 of the Musical Connections podcast. Thank you so much once again for connecting with me this week. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Join me same time next week where once more we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to one another, and until next time, safe home.